The Alamo stands as Texas's secular Western Wall, a shrine where visitors speak in hushed tones, symbolizing American resolve and Texas exceptionalism. But the story most Americans know, brave heroes like Crockett, Bowie, and Travis dying fighting Mexican dictator Santa Anna to secure Texas liberty, masks a far more complex reality. Unlike other historical monuments undergoing critical reassessment, the Alamo's defenders, who fought to establish what became a militant slave nation, have largely escaped scrutiny. As Latinos approach majority status in Texas and Americans everywhere reconsider historical monuments, the traditional Alamo narrative faces unprecedented challenges. The battle wasn't simply about freedom fighters resisting tyranny. It emerged from complex economic forces, imperial ambitions, and most critically, the determination to preserve slavery in defiance of Mexican law. This hidden history reveals uncomfortable truths about American expansion and the myths we construct to justify it. Two innovations transformed the American economy. British textile factories created insatiable demand for cotton, while Eli Whitney's cotton gin increased production from 1 to 50 pounds daily. This revolution made the American South ideal for cotton cultivation, with Natchez District production soaring from 36,000 to 1.2 million pounds between 1794-1800. America's enslaved population grew from 900,000 in 1800 to nearly 4 million by 1860. As southern lands filled, planters eyed Spanish Texas. Despite Spain establishing missions at San Antonio and Nacogdoches in the 1700s, native resistance left Texas sparsely populated with just 4,000 people by 1800. Comanche raids beginning in 1813 proved decisive in Spanish Texas's collapse. Calculated economic warfare where they stole horses and mules to trade with Americans. Within 2 years, Texas was stripped bare, with San Antonio under virtual siege. When Stephen Austin established his colony west of modern Houston, he confronted the slavery issue. Though personally finding slavery morally repugnant, Austin considered it economically essential, writing, "Nothing is wanted but money, and Negroes are necessary to make it." Unlike Spain, Mexico's new government was committed to racial equality. Austin lobbied for slavery, arguing Americans wouldn't settle without it. Mexico eventually compromised. Americans could bring existing slaves, but couldn't trade them, and children of enslaved parents would be free at 14. By 1825, one in four people in Austin's colony was enslaved. When Mexico passed anti-slavery laws, immigration slowed as settlers demanded guarantees for their property. Colonists circumvented these laws by reclassifying slaves as indentured servants with contracts exceeding 60 years. A cotton price surge in 1831 to 1835 increased Texas production by 600%, triggering a flood of illegal American immigrants that doubled Texas's population to 21,000 in 4 years. Crisis erupted when Mexican officials attempted to halt illegal immigration and collect customs taxes. After William Barrett Travis's arrest for organizing an illegal militia, armed settlers attacked the Mexican fort at Velasco in June 1832, possibly the first battle of the Texas Revolt. Santa Anna wasn't the bloodthirsty tyrant of legend. He had granted colonists nearly everything except slavery guarantees. The Americans weren't oppressed. They enjoyed more rights than other Mexican citizens, yet ignored Mexican laws, evaded taxes, and attacked soldiers enforcing them. The revolt's true cause was slavery. Mexico was ardently abolitionist, while Southern Americans believed slavery was divinely ordained. When Santa Anna abolished federalism in October 1835, Texians feared the central government would finally abolish slavery. Though rarely admitted publicly, Texian leaders consistently defended their property rights, code for enslaved people. Jim Bowie was a renowned fighter with a dark past, a swindler involved in illegal slave smuggling and land fraud. After killing Sheriff Norris Wright in the 1827 Sandbar fight, he fled to Texas, converted to Catholicism, and married into San Antonio wealth through Ursula Veramendi. William Barrett Buck Travis, an emotional 25-year-old Alabama lawyer, became a vocal war dog, young, pro-slavery Southerners suspicious of authority. His diary revealed numerous sexual encounters and likely syphilis, with mercury treatments possibly affecting his mental stability. Davy Crockett built his reputation on bear hunting tales and frontier populism, becoming one of America's most famous men after Andrew Jackson. When he lost his congressional seat in 1835, the 49-year-old headed to Texas, receiving 4,600 acres for military service. When Commander James Neal left due to family illness, Bowie and Travis immediately clashed. Their conflict peaked during Bowie's drinking binge, when he released prisoners and caused such disorder that Travis temporarily withdrew his men from the Alamo. Travis ignored warnings about Santa Anna until February 23rd, when Tejano families fled and Mexican cavalry entered Military Plaza, raising a blood-red flag signaling no quarter. The next day, Travis wrote his famous Victory or Death letter, though it attracted few volunteers. The 13-day siege saw Mexican forces establishing cannon positions, while Travis received only 32 reinforcements from Gonzales. Meanwhile, the convention at Washington on the Brazos declared Texas independence. By March 3, Travis grew fatalistic as bombardment intensified, with Crockett suggesting, "I think we had better march out and die in the open air." On March 6, Santa Anna positioned 1,800 men around the Alamo with cavalry ready to catch escapees. At dawn, Mexican soldiers charged forward shouting Viva Santa Anna as the band played the Degüello, signaling no quarter. The surprised defenders fought back fiercely, with Travis quickly killed by a bullet to the forehead. Mexican soldiers faced heavy fire from Texian rifles and artillery, their ladders breaking under their weight. Despite their advantage, Mexican troops met fierce resistance in brutal hand-to-hand combat, killing all defenders, including boys. General Ramirez Yesesma documented multiple breakout attempts. One group fled toward rocky terrain before being intercepted by cavalry, while about 50 men fought through the main gate before being overwhelmed. The approximately 7 defenders who surrendered were executed on Santa Anna's orders. Jim Bowie died in the sickbed, while Davy Crockett's fate remains disputed between dying in battle or being captured and executed. Though Santa Anna intended the defeat to crush Texian morale, Houston transformed the Alamo into a powerful rallying cry. Susanna Dickinson, the lone Anglo survivor, became crucial when Santa Anna released her to Houston's camp with both a surrender demand and her eyewitness account. Houston reframed the disaster by comparing it to the Battle of Thermopylae, calling the defenders' actions equal to Spartan valor. His advisors transformed survivors' accounts to enhance heroism, turning Joe's simple report of Travis's death into a tale of the commander slashing a Mexican general before falling. Stories emerged of Crockett fighting to death with his rifle as a club, despite evidence he likely surrendered. The Telegraph and Texas Register elevated the event to mythic status, comparing the Alamo to Thermopylae and calling it gloriously lamentable. American newspapers responded with grief and outrage, prompting widespread support. The Alamo narrative became Houston's most powerful weapon at San Jacinto. This myth-making reveals our deep need for heroes despite complex realities. By confronting the true Alamo story, we better understand how history shapes national identity and how chosen narratives both illuminate and obscure the past.